What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Product is the new marketing, and design is at the center of what keeps your app users coming back. But what are the defining traits of a great user experience, and how do you deliver one? Well, gaming is a great place to start, because guess what? People love them. It is the experience that sets the bar, and it's the blueprint we can all learn from, which is why we're going to learn today from my guest. She's a user experience UX evangelist, Jez Danka. She's also a senior UX designer at Mainframe Industries, a pan-Nordic game venture that has studios in Helsinki and Reykjavik. She has a long record in design, deep passion for all stages of product development. And get this, her mission, right? Jez, you want to transform the way we work by helping studios nourish and maintain user-centric design culture. That is quite an ambition. Great to have you, first of all, Jez. How are you doing today?
Hey, Peggy. Thanks for having me. And yes, I'm really into what I'm doing. I want to change the world, actually.
I was going to say, you want to change the world.
Yeah,
there you go.
I do. Yeah. It's my mission. User-centric
design. Okay, I have to ask, though. I have to ask then, why? Why do you want to change the world?
I think the main reason is what I learned over the years is, especially the products that I work on, which are video games, they are still not as accessible basically to everyone. And I want to help change it. And user-centric development is basically the way to open up gaming to everyone in the world. And I think it's a wonderful place to be, to meet new people or to engage with really deep stories. And I think everyone should be able to play, basically.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, what happened, right, in the pandemic, I don't want to always go on about it, but everyone went to games. The numbers were stellar. You can't even describe the growth, you know, 70, 80% growth. But the coolest thing was that people who said they weren't really gamers, they started to identify themselves as gamers. And so to your point, you know, it was all age groups, all demographics, not just the usual suspects. So there's a lot of sense in trying to make it more inclusive. So I have to ask you, what is therefore a good user experience beyond being inclusive?
Yeah, that's a great and a really broad question. So inclusivity really is still at the helm, because everything that UX does is in regards to the user. So starting with usability, understanding the interface, maybe even writing terms or game narrative in a way that is accessible. Mm-hmm. It comes down to so many things, like what is the input device the users can use to make it accessible and inclusive, actually. There are so many parts that one can work on and take into account. But yeah, it comes really down to making things accessible and the user, absolutely, because this is what we are doing. We're making these games for other people, not just for us.
So you have to love it. You obviously love it, but you also have to have talents and skills. What can you learn and what can you teach yourself?
Well, you can do, nowadays there's really great education around game design and games user experience or UX in general. There are many industries that use UX. It's really been driven by Apple, right, in the past 30 years pretty much. And there are a lot of different courses and schools that you can also attend online to learn the basics of Gestalt psychology, which is one of the fundamentals of UX design. It's all about how do we process information as humans, and so how can we make digital products accessible through human-computer interaction, for example. Those are the basics. That is the stuff you can learn. And then, of course, there's then the experience that you just learn about production and about making things by, you know, doing it.
So you can do it yourself to some extent. Looking at you, you know, UX evangelist, that's pretty cool. How about yourself? How'd you get started?
I actually have a basic bachelor's degree in communication design. I think I graduated in 2006. So the basics of graphic design are really the same principles of user experience in a way. So I started working on actually analog media, which is magazines, books, but also then digital one, which is the websites. And, you know, in a way, everything follows the same principle, the way that you lay out the information, how it is accessible to the people, yes. So
What kind of education have you? What was your degree in, or did you have to study?
I studied, and it's a Bachelor of Communication Design, I think, if I remember. Okay. We learned about iconography, layouting, the basic tools like Photoshop, InDesign. Yes, everything that's needed to create any kind of product.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Truly.
So here we are, you know, working a decade in the games industry, creating engaging experiences. What's the one trait, talent that you think has allowed you to succeed? Because from that, we're going to understand what others need to succeed. What's done it for you?
Well, of course, I've loved games all my life. So specifically this industry I seeked out because I kind of come with a lot of knowledge that I just acquired, you know, by being a gamer. However, what really kept driving me is just these experiences that I had myself when I was younger. And how I connect, specifically how I connected with people over them. So in multiplayer games like MMOs, I think, you know, there's just really magic in it. And it just kept me going, really. Yeah.
So it's great you say magic, because when we were doing an interview, full disclosure, I've already interviewed you for Pocket Gamer, an article about how you get started in your career, how people can get started in this period. And back in that interview, you said there needs to be something in you that is burning for this. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, I don't really know where it comes from. And it's hard, you know, maybe to tell others about it. But I just, you know, I'm not sure. I guess I just found the thing in life that I want to do. And I think I actually just, I also saw while I was going to college, I was working in a supermarket, for example. And even there, I learned I was working in the service category. And I just enjoy that. I enjoy making a pleasurable experience and having a good service design for others. It just gives me this intrinsic kind of feeling of, I brought someone, you know, something they needed. Mm-hmm. They enjoyed that. And that, I think it's really just that in the end, being part of a community and being able to contribute in a meaningful way.
And the good news is that you can have this And you have it across, you know, we have designers in every industry, every app vertical. That's a given. But the good news is what I'm hearing is that there is a lot of this you can teach yourself. There are YouTube courses. There are virtual meetups and places. I mean, imagine someone says to themselves, really, I want to make things accessible. Mm-hmm. I want to make them inclusive. I love games. I want to bring gamification to other apps. I mean, yeah. How much of that can I just go out and do right now?
You know, everything in UX first and foremost comes down to your user. So who is your audience and what would be the kind of gamification that they would want to, for example, engage in? What are they actually playing games? What is the age or gender category? What are other types of media they engage with? So first, it's always about, you can't just pick something off the bat. You always first need to learn, who am I making this for? And depending on this kind of segmentation and what you learn about the audience, then you can be like, okay, they have, maybe they're playing a specific game. What can I learn from that? So they are, also when they use a specific software, like, okay, they're familiar with Facebook. So can I use certain interactions or things from this kind of piece that they have already experienced? This is also how it works for us in games. We don't come up with just new things all the time. We also use a lot of state-of-the-art interaction, for example. But yeah, first and foremost, it's always talk to your audience and you will learn what they might appreciate.
So real quick, just in a nutshell, really, that what you have to learn, I mean, it probably helps to have some idea of some software. What software is key? What do I have to know? Is it Figma and a few others out there? Because there's a basis upon which you build this, but then there's a ton, is what I'm hearing, that you can learn yourself and add to this. So this is a career that it is literally what you make it.
Yeah, there are so many. There's Sketch, there's Figma, there's Adobe also has their own. It's called XD. Okay. It really comes down to you. Nowadays, there are even so many more have been in the last year. So it's a really moving market, like regarding this kind of type of software, and they all have very similar features actually, and only branch in specific ways that they differ. It's really up to you. I would really say, you know, try all of them and see which one fits your needs the best. Because some, for example, offer some type of animation, while others don't, but they might have other tools. For example, in Figma, it's really easy to share with a user, maybe a mock-up you make that is interactable and you can actually test right away with someone something. I think that is available even in the free version. I'm not 100% sure. But so it comes down to, what are the features that I need for the product that I'm trying to make? And all of them come, I think, with a free trial. So it's really worth figuring it out, maybe even together with your team. Who else is going to collaborate on this? What fits us the best?
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, you work on your own as a designer, but you work also in a team. So I do want to get to that. We do have to go to break right now, but we are going to talk about, okay, we talked about how you got started. Now we're going to talk more about how that works with a team, with marketers, with engineers, with people in data science and other things like that, because that's a journey in itself. But we do have to go to break, Jazz. So don't go away, listeners. We'll be right back after the break.
Mobile Presence, sponsored by CleverTap, a leading engagement and retention platform, will be back after this message.
Hey, we are back at Mobile Presence. I'm your host, as always, Peggy Ann Saltz. We have UX experience design evangelist, Jazz Danka. Jazz, before the break, we were talking about what started you on your career path. Yeah, what are the talents you need? What are the skills you need? But of course, it's a journey you share with a team. You work with marketers. You work with a ton of other disciplines across the company. What does a UX designer need to be a contributor to this process, part of this process?
Yeah, that's a really great question, because, you know, for us as UX designers, it really comes down to facilitation and listening. That is a huge part of our job. And it's actually also why I became an evangelist, because it wasn't necessarily it isn't really everywhere yet understood that, you know, what is UX really and how it actually mm-hmm. affects every part of the product. And this is where the teamwork comes into play, where exactly like you said, we work with marketing, we work with the product lead, we actually work with the engineers and also other designers on the product. And it's all about that we talk together, we facilitate learnings, we learn together about the user. It's not just about us doing one specific thing, but and actually that's also what I love a lot about the job. I love working together with a team that is just as passionate as me, just as interested in learning, in listening, and working together to bring the best product to the people.
But of course, you know, it's iterative because users are changing, right? Habits changed a ton in the last 2 years. How long we play, what we play. And there's a lot that you learn there that you can bring to other industries, other verticals, testing, checking the data. It sounds like a steep learning curve for someone with just a design background. What's a learning you can share about how to bring the two together? Because maybe someone's great in design and has to figure out the other side, how to be a listener.
Yeah, and that's been also difficult for me because we all have these ideas and we think, hey, maybe my idea would be the best. That's the part where you need to work on yourself. And it's not easy. And I think that goes for everyone who works in a team, right? Or to be even with other people. It's always about compromises. But yeah, specifically, as you said, you know, there's so much about also to actually I work together with QA quite a bit also. So there is really no. So what I can say for myself, what was my biggest breakthrough is no fear, no fear in reaching out to people, no fear in sharing your opinion, and also no fear about, you know, taking a step back and understanding when you made mistakes and also sharing those with the team. I think actually that's one of the most important parts about the culture in any team is the vulnerability that we all make mistakes. And actually that helps quite a bit too. And of course, then also one just from production side, which is a really great tool, is called retrospectives. So in the end of every release where we had a couple of sprints, we worked on something, we actually sit down with the team and we write down what did we like about this the last couple of weeks, how we worked together, what went well, what didn't went so well, what are actions that we need to take to improve the work that we do together and also to improve the product. So that will also help you to reflect on what you've been doing and get better each month, each week, really.
It's interesting because now that we have the data and we can validate our hypotheses differently, we can collect the data differently. There's a different role of data that maybe even you weren't ready for, you know, because you love to be inclusive and helpful and having a great experience. And then you're going to have people who say, yeah, but, you know, the data tells us X. What's the grasp or what do you need to understand in the data to still be true to your design, but also deliver, you know, like the performance, the improvements, the results that a studio wants to have?
Yeah, it all comes down also how are you even, where is the data coming from? How is the qualitative versus the quantitative part? So, and it's really difficult, you know, the quantitative part is basically how many have maybe an issue or how much does something occur? And then the qualitative part where we go and actually interact directly with a player or user and ask them, you know, why did this occur? How did they feel about it? So that will clear up a lot. So this is where these different kind of data points kind of need to work together because, yeah, just having a set of data doesn't necessarily also just tell one thing. That is where you need to bring these two together to just make better assumptions. And what helps then in validating these assumptions are, you know, these kind of rapid ways of prototyping and testing, maybe with a small sample to be like, hey, was our assumption not correct? Did it improve what the users told us or not? So these are the kind of tools that help because, you know, more than not, and this is also another learning of being a UX designer, more than not, you get it wrong. That's just how it is because it is in the end first an assumption. Only if you roll it out to a bigger sample of users, you will truly know what might be going on.
So we have an overview, which is what I wanted. You know, what's some of the talents? What are some of the traits that you need to make it in UX design to work with marketers? Getting started, what's a no-go or what's a must-have when you're trying to get started? Just in a nutshell, to leave our audience with a feeling of, yeah, this sounds like what I want to do, or I want to switch to this for my career. What mm-hmm. is an important point or an important piece of advice you can leave us with?
Just like anything in life, if you want to commit to something, maybe do it in the way first where you can experience it, do an internship, do some online courses, just something that sets you up, okay, this is how this day-to-day work will be, and does this fit me or not? So what are the ways that you can try that actually out for yourself? If you are an open person that really loves learning and loves to listen to people and work with others, you know, surely this is the place to be. And if you, you know, feel like you yourself even have been underrepresented and feel like you can make a difference, you know, go for it.
That's what I love when you say that. It's like, yeah, let's go out, all of us now, go out and be UX designers, make those experiences better, because some of them still are pretty bad.
Yeah. I have to say, for me, everyone that I work with, it doesn't matter in what discipline they work, they are part of our design process. We have very open feedback channels. Everyone in our company can give feedback and gives us good ideas. I think that is just a big thing about, you know, I never feel alone in what I do, because I know that I cannot do it by myself. So that's why I love to, it's a big part, I think, of UX and involving others. And it empowers them too. And I think it's beautiful.
Well, I wanted to have you here because I also wanted the marketers out there to understand how to work best with you. Overall, it's probably a learning process. If you had to rate marketers currently, give them a scorecard on how far along they are in understanding how to bring design into product. Give me a ranking, a scorecard. How well, how far is it?
I am actually very happy. I would actually, maybe on a 1-10 scale, I would be at an 8 with that. Like, looking at the entire industry, I mean, at least the companies I've worked at, I work so closely with marketers, and specifically on the research parts that back in the days were actually only a marketing discipline for some reason. But nowadays it's so much closer and we are all involved. So I really love just working on features together with them. They help me do the questionnaires. They run their own learnings about the users or the players. So you need to bring those back to us. Like, we are on the same team, basically. There is no marketers like and designers as separation. They are a team, you know, if not the most important one in the company. So whatever you will do that will help that relationship will set you up for success.
Well, there you go. And product is the new marketing. So not a better way to end this possible that I can think of, Jazz. Thanks so much for sharing. And yes, I mean, you are someone who is giving and you love to share and you are an evangelist, of course. What's the best way to keep up with you? Maybe, you know, after the show, throughout the week, how can people connect, maybe compare portfolios, whatever? What's the best way?
I think the best way is actually just add me on LinkedIn and drop me a message, usually online. Then we can see if maybe we have a call or so. I love mentoring and helping people. If you have any kind of topic you want to talk about, or how to get started in the games industry, or what is UX design, you know, just drop me a line.
Awesome. Well, that's how we connected. So there you go.
Exactly.
It works and you do respond. As I said, Jazz, thanks so much for sharing. And of course, if you want to keep up with me throughout the week, find out more about how you can be a guest or sponsor on Mobile Presence, then you can email me, peggy@mobilegroove.com is where you can also find my portfolio of content marketing and app marketing services. Of course, you can also catch up with me on LinkedIn, connect on Twitter, and you can also check out this and all earlier episodes of our show by going to WMR.fm, or you can find our shows on Amazon, iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, Spotify, and iHeartRadio simply by searching Mobile Presence. So don't also forget video. That's why we're here, Jazz. Video powered by The Groove on YouTube. So many ways to enjoy this episode. So until next time, remember, every minute is mobile, so make every minute count. Keep well, stay safe, and we'll see you soon.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.